Hey there, welcome to episode 50. What a milestone! If you're a regular listener, I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you so much for your ongoing support and tuning in. And if this is your first episode, hello! I hope this won't be your last. In today's episode, you've got another solo show with me, and I'm talking about websites. So, you know, here's my question for you. Are you happy with your current website, or does it need a major overhaul? If your business has been through big changes lately, I mean, whose business hasn't, it's probably a good time to take another look and ensure the content still reflects what everything looks like now. And it still reflects the direction you're now heading in. As I personally record this episode, I'm about to start rejigging my own website for this exact reason. So many changes in my business this year. And I'll let you all know when that new website goes live. So watch this space. And I'm sure there are listeners out there who still don't have a website at all for various reasons. So today I'm sharing 5 key tips that I believe every engaging and effective website should have. These tips have been extracted from my Website Boosters Bootcamp, which is an online course that will soon be available to purchase from my website. Let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. And I do this through strategic marketing coaching and training and via engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. So yeah, lately I've been working on a whole bunch of website jobs and everyone has been in the health and wellness space, which is absolutely awesome. I've actually had about 5 websites on the go at the same time. 2 have been kind of on hold while I wait for the notes to come in from the client because it is a collaborative thing, believe it or not. I can't do this all on my own. I cannot read minds. I'm working on it, but I'm not there yet. So there's 2 are kind of on hold in that regard. 1 is almost completely done. Just need to make some edits. Another one's almost done as well. Another one, I'm just waiting on that first round of feedback. So all very exciting. And so I've learned a lot throughout the process. And I've done obviously other websites beforehand. But I thought this would be the perfect time for me to talk through my top 5 tips for ensuring you have a great website. So to begin with, 1, let's get right into it. Ensure your messaging is clear. So before you start working on your website, you need to get your messaging right. And this comes from knowing your audience, their pain points, and then knowing how you provide solutions to meet those pain points. You also need to have a clear idea of how you want your brand to be perceived. So when I'm asked to write website copy, or any copy for that matter, I ask my clients to fill out a project brief. And this gives me a better understanding of the business, such as the background, so why you even started your business, your target market, the tone of voice, unique selling point, competitors, and the SEO keywords that you want incorporated. So I need this information so I can write in line with the brand. So you need this information clear in your mind before you can write your content or brief the copywriter. Otherwise, your content can miss the mark and you want to speak directly to your ideal buyer. I'm actually just dealing with that right now with one of my clients. She needed to get more clarity. We put website copy together, and then because she's still getting that clarity, we're now reflecting and starting from scratch almost. So to avoid all these issues involved, make sure you know this before you engage your copywriter. I have another client who was going to start with me months ago, but after I sent this brief through, she realized just how many gaps there were in her strategy and clarity. So it really helped with getting that all sorted, getting that groundwork done right at the beginning. So I've got some questions for you to have a think about. And so you might want to grab your pause if you need to, and grab pen and paper, or if you like to type furiously, this is the time to grab that and prepare. So the first thing you need to think about is, who is my ideal client or clients? You might have a couple of different avatars, as they're also known. So how old are they? Where do they live? What's their family life like? And where do they work? Or maybe they don't work. Maybe they're a student. Have a think about your ideal client and all the different aspects about them. The next thing you need to do and look at is their pain points, their five main pain points. So you know who they are. Maybe you have an exact example of someone you're working with currently, or you ideally like to work with, that you can picture as you think of this. So think about, what keeps them up at night? Is it something to do with money? What are they stressed about? What was the ultimate reason? Because sometimes you have to go quite deep, to go deeper, deeper, deeper. You're stressed. Why are you stressed? Because you want enough money. What does that mean if you don't have enough money? You won't be able to feed your kids. What will that mean? You might have to, you know, live in poverty. What does that mean? You live on the streets. What does that mean? So just kind of go deep and think about all these different aspects. You know, they might be freaking out about the kids. They want the best for their kids. Just have a think about those, and feel free to pause the recording if you need to jot these down. So now that you've got an idea of those pain points and what's really niggling at them, what's really frustrating them, upsetting them, or has potential to have detrimental effects on their life. I mean, it sounds pretty full on here, but ultimately it's what you have to think about. Then you look at your products and services and how they address these pain points. How can you solve their problems? And it's so important to do this first with the customer in mind, because that otherwise you can get caught up in your own head and your website is just about what you do and how you think you can help. But if you haven't deep dived into their headspace and you're not talking to them, then you're probably going to miss the mark. I did this little video recently that I shared across my socials, and it was, I bet you think this website's about you, don't you? Yes, I sang on the video and I'm singing on my podcast. Woo. But yes, it's not actually about you, your website. It is about them. It is about how you can help. And this is where I love doing hypothetical questions in the text, because then you get people nodding along and going, yes, you know exactly what I'm feeling. Like, yes, oh, if you can help me, you sound like the right person to help me. That's the attitude you want them to take when they're reading through your website content. And for blogs too, you can do the same hypothetical questions. So another thing to think about is, what makes you unique? So yes, we've dealt with the client. You've started bringing in your products and services. And now think about you and your uniqueness, because you do have it, okay? Every single person on this earth is different. So why should people buy from you versus your competitor? Is it your strong customer service, you know, your quick turnaround, or always, you know, on the ball, you pick up the phone, you respond to every single email within 24 hours, whatever it is. Maybe it's your personality. Maybe you're, you know, I guess I'm known as a bubbly person, and that's not every copywriter is like that. Not every marketing person is like that. I'm also a bit silly. Not every marketing person is like that. So maybe it's your price point. Maybe you are more affordable. Maybe it's a convenience factor. Maybe you are a mobile therapist, so you can go to their house and no one else does that for whatever reason. Okay, so have a think of that. What makes you unique? And then have a think about your tone of voice and personality. And this should, you shouldn't be overthinking this, because this should just be you. Or I guess if you do have a bigger business organization, the feel, the vibe that you want it to attract. Okay. So do you want to be perceived as friendly, quirky, professional, serious, fun-loving, a combination? Have a think of that, because that will make an impact on the types of words you use throughout your website copy. Okay. So all those questions are posed for you. You're probably like, what has this got to do with the website? I hope I've kind of inserted some some reasons why. But this message, you need to get this key message 100%, and it's a come through in your content. So the words you use, the phrases you use, and you know, you need to think as well, the words and phrases you may use in your business may not be the words and phrases your clients are using. So those pain points, like I mentioned, can be used as hypothetical questions on your homepage, at the start of your services pages, etc. Get people nodding along. It's not just about your products and services. And, you know, your products and services ultimately mean nothing if you haven't pinpointed the need first. People need to see the value in what you're offering. So they need to think first about themselves. Yes, it sounds a bit selfish, but they need to know how you can make their life either a little or a lot better. Ideally, massively better. And being clear in your tone of voice and personality is all about the personal branding, because people need to connect with you, not this overarching business, the human. People do business with people, and not all people will like you, and that's okay. But the right people will, and you want to work with those types of clients. They're less likely to be a pain in the bum, okay? So my second tip is ensure your website is SEO friendly, okay? So search engine optimization, SEO, is key if you want to appear organically in Google. In other words, have a chance of appearing in searches without paying for Google ads. So from the search engine's perspective, if you can say a bot has a perspective, it wants to present the user with the most useful and relevant content according to their search. So where you appear in the search pages and whether you appear at all relies upon numerous factors. So I'll take you through some of those now. So optimized content is one of them. And that's obviously where my expertise usually comes in as a content marketer. So for example, you need to have one keyword phrase per page on your website and your blogs, etc. Okay. So you need to consider this long tail keyword phrase and think about how you're going to, which one is best for each page. And that is just another way to describe a sentence potential customers type into Google when searching for your offering. Okay. So you've picked a phrase. It could be how to eat healthier. Give something basic like that, right? And so you could have. I mean, this is great for a blog, but you know, tips on how to eat healthier. But whatever it is, whatever that phrase is, if it is on your page, it could be more related to your service itself, right? So healthy eating habits. This is when you're trying to think off the cuff, you know, nothing comes. But, you know, just think about what you're offering, think of the pain point and just combine them together, okay? And that's basically your keyword phrase. But, you know, after you have picked one, you need to think of the synonyms, okay? Similar words or phrases that can be used for that, because everyone thinks differently and can search for different things. And then you need to incorporate these words in the web page, ideally in the main and subheadings. So even just using my own page as an example, you know, I want to come up for content marketing, marketing consultant. So therefore my headings would have words like Meet Leanne, a friendly marketing consultant and things like that. So that would come up in searches. And I might even say, you know, in Sydney Hills, if I want to have the location in there too, which is always helpful. So you need to have, this is why it's so important with like your services, to have separate subpages for every single service so that you can then have the potential to rank for each one. So I have, you know, a copywriting page. So if anyone is searching copywriting, Google knows to direct them to that particular page. If I had marketing consulting and copywriting on the same page, it can actually be confusing for Google. Is it relevant? If someone's searching a copywriter, but it's mentioned this as well, and it just causes a bit of confusion, okay? So if you have multiple services listed on a page, that means you probably have multiple keywords, and yeah, ideally you just want to break it into separate ones, and 400 words is all you need per page to make a standalone page. Put some pretty pictures, call to action. I'll talk about more of that in a minute, but yeah. Okay, so another factor involved, that was all under optimized content, and blogs come into that too, and I'm going to talk about that as a separate tip. Engagement levels is another factor for SEO. So how long have people spent on your site? What is the bounce rate and the click-through rate? That will make an impact on how you appear in Google. If people are constantly bouncing out, it gives the impression that it's not a relevant website or a useful website, so your whole ranking is going to be out of whack. So that's why you've got to make sure you've got really useful content that answers their pain points, right? So another one is site speed, including on mobile. So if it takes forever for images and your page to load, then that can be an issue. And ideally, it should take about 3 seconds to load. Our patience is very thin, guys. So yeah, keep that in mind. Mobile friendliness is another big factor with SEO because it needs to be easy to navigate on a device. More and more people are using their phones to do searches, and if your website is looking all disjointed, then it's going to be extremely confusing, painful to navigate, and then it's going to get right out. And they'll most likely forget to then check it again when they are on their desktop. The domain age is another SEO factor as well. So the longer you've had your website URL, the more perceived authority. Obviously, this is a tricky one if you are a new business, but you know, you can easily build up authority and where you appear in searches based on all these other factors. So that one can't be helped, but the others you can work on. Accessibility is another big factor. So is it easy for the Google bots to find your website? And this is based on the coding, the sitemap that lists all your pages, and the robots.txt file that tells Google where it can and can't look for your site information. So that's all the techie side of things. I personally don't delve into that. But yes, that is good to have all settled as well. Your website designer or web developer could help you out with that side of things. Then there's the technical SEO. So that's using tags, alt tags, keywords, and meta descriptions in the back end. That's fairly straightforward, especially if you use WordPress or Wix. I haven't seen Squarespace, but it kind of guides you in the back end where you put those. And ultimately, that is just like the keywords we talked about. Insert those in your text and then make sure that appears in your back end in that little section. And in the meta description, that little summary that comes up in Google, that's the meta description. So you make sure your keywords are in that. Links is very important as well for SEO. And there's three different types that you can include here. So there are inbound links. And this is where an authoritative site includes a relevant link to your website and a piece of content. So also referred to as backlinks. Okay, so you can achieve these by getting a guest blog or article published elsewhere on a news site or another highly engaged website. And they then link back to you when they tag your name or they have a little bio at the bottom of your website or something like that. Because Google uses inbound links as one way to help determine how authoritative and relevant your content is. So you want as many of these as possible. So that's a reason why you need to get those guest blogs out if you can, or have partnerships and collaborations happening with others. Outbound links is another type. So these are links to external relevant authoritative sites. So if it's from your site, elsewhere. And it shows Google you're creating quality and well-researched content for your visitors. So for example, you can include a definition or phrase from an industry association or government website. Or you may have also, in reverse, have done a guest blog, you then put something on your website and link it back to where your guest blog is found on that other site. And then you've got internal links. So these provide links to your own content from page to page. So blog to blog. So you might in one particular blog, talk about something just briefly, but then you have a full blog that covers it in detail. Or you might have on your services page, you mention something, but you might have a blog that goes into a lot more detail. So then you have a link there. Or you might even just have links between your homepage and your services pages, for example, services and your contact page, all those. This all increases the engagement on your website, gets people clicking around, and that then, shows Google people are finding your content useful and the bots are more likely to push your site up the rankings for others to see. And finally, the last SEO factor to consider is social signals. So how often are people sharing your content on their social media pages, therefore attracting more traffic back to you? So yeah, there's quite a few factors at play with SEO, and there is no perfect formula. There is no guaranteed way to appear on the first page of Google, no matter what emails you receive. you can't just work hard one month and then leave it alone. So working on your SEO needs to be an ongoing process. And I was just thinking you should probably go back into Kate Toon's episode we had earlier in the year. That is episode 11. Should we talk about SEO a little bit there as well? But, Google algorithm constantly changes. And, I did a bit of research on this and they change the search algorithm about 500 to 600 times every year, which is absolutely insane. So you just need to do your best with all these different bits and pieces and see how you go. But there are some free SEO tools you can use to see how your website is tracking. And these include tools.pingdom.com and Site Checker, S-I-T-E, checker.pro, which is actually very thorough. And I'm just putting a note here. I'll put in the show notes those links. But yes, I recommend those. Or you can also, Tony Cosentino from WordPress Guy, who's actually the guy who helped me get my podcast all set up and all the equipment I need to buy, he does low-cost website health checks. And he's done one for me. And when I'm doing my website review, I'm going to get all those all that feedback considered and, so it can be the best possible website going forward. All right, so I've only gone through 2 points, believe it or not. But the next ones won't be as long. So the third tip I have for creating an engaging and effective website is talking about the humans behind the business. And this can be achieved on an about page. So about pages are a topic close to my heart, but so many web pages don't have one. Or they simply feature the company's history, their vision, their mission, purpose, but that's it. It's just very shallow. I don't know. It has no meat to it, no humanity to it. So I actually get disappointed when I find an about page that just has more facts and figures about the business. This about page should be about the people behind the brand. Okay. You need to show the human side and don't be afraid to include some personality in this. Okay. Go check out my about page. You'll see what I mean. And also talk about this in Rashida's episode on storytelling. Let me double check when it was. Episode 36. So check that out as well. We'll talk about storytelling and tying with the about page. So, the about page is basically your opportunity to network with potential buyers so they know who they're really dealing with. And the page can feature the founder's personal journey, so that's what I'm saying, the storytelling, and have, you know, why did they start the business? Was there some form of catalyst? And quite often, people start a business because they had, there was something, like whether they found a gap because they had their own struggles, or they've overcome their own stuff, or they've realized, you know, there's usually some moment, and they're then servicing people that used to be their past self, that may be you as well. So you can cover your experience and expertise and also feature links to media coverage, etc. in this section. You can even talk about your hobbies and family life, which can become a conversation starting point with new clients. So say you've got dogs and new client sees that and then you can bond over that. I also recommend including a photo of you and all the team as well to further help with the connection. And if you do have a team, it's great to feature their faces and a little mini bio about them as well, just to show, just give their faces. And as if you refer to people in conversation with a client or new potential client, or they get emails from your marketing assistant or your receptionist, then they actually have a face they can put it all to. Okay. Just removing that barrier of, you know, client as a person and organization and making it more person to person. Okay. So my next tip is to have clear call to actions. This is tip number four. Have clear call to actions. You need, it may sound ridiculous, but you need to tell the viewer what they need to do next, or reader, audience, whatever you want to call it. So you can have multiple call to actions throughout every web page, but don't ever leave them hanging and feeling unsure about how they connect with you. Okay, don't just rely upon the contact page. I was actually just talking to someone today and has a beautiful website, but you click on a page and you read through, you're like, oh, this is brilliant. But then you're actually uncertain going, oh, is this just information or can I sign up to this? Like, or how much does this cost? It's like, it's a bit, you can, there's a bit of uncertainty there as me coming to the website for the first time. So you may need to get some friends, you know, a partner or someone who's not you to check it out and just see if that's all clear for them, because you can get too close to the project. Because, you know, if someone is convinced that they want to work with you from reading just one paragraph on the services page, you should be then encouraging them to book an appointment with you by supplying an easy to find link. You're doing yourself a disservice if they then have to click around and you know, go to the contact page. You want to make it easy, minimize the clicking around as much as possible, even though, you know, I know from engagement point of view with Google, clicking around is good, but from a customer point of view, that's frustrating. Make it easy for them to connect with you if they're ready to do business with you, okay? And my fifth tip, I have to include this one, is include a blog. Yes, as someone who loves writing and repurposing blog content, this needs to be included on this list. So yes, from an SEO perspective, blogs help keep your website fresh, especially if you haven't touched the content on your website in years, because it helps to build up a sense of brand loyalty. You know, why should people choose you? So it's helping with that uniqueness that we were talking about earlier. It also helps to show that you're trustworthy and transparent by giving away this free content, showing that you have lots of knowledge to share. You want to just help them out, okay? Also, show you're the industry expert. You know what you're talking about. Give them that confidence to work with you. And you can also discuss issues, concerns, and interests. So it's something that's trending in the news right now. You can address that, which we covered a little bit in episode coming up with Beck Darrington, or it was with Beck Darrington. Can't remember if it was before this or after this episode. So yeah, you can listen to episode one of my podcast about how to build a blog-friendly business, where I talk a little bit more about the benefits of blogging. And feel free to obviously reach out to me if you do want to delve more into this. But ultimately, if someone is driven to your blog via a Google search, social media posts, or email, you then have them in the perfect place to click around your site to find out more about you and then potentially buy from you either then and there or at a later point. So yes, blogging can be time consuming to write or costly to outsource if you are outsourcing, but they act as wonderful core pieces of content. So just remember this, once published, you can use that content to create multiple social media posts, like 5 at least per blog that can link back to your blog, aka your website, aka where all your services are, all right? You can also do Facebook Lives on the topic. I'll break it down to, you know, so you've got 5 tips in your blog, 5 Facebook Lives that, or 5 videos that are brilliant for that algorithm on the social media. And also you direct getting people to, yeah, back to your blog and also connecting with people. You can also with your blog add graphics and, you know, turn it into a PDF, make it all pretty, change it to PDF and make it a lead magnet. And that you can then upload to your website. People have to give their email address to download, and then you're building your list, right? Also, you can collect a series of blogs on the same topic and create an ebook. Awesome. Which you can also, that could be a lead magnet, or you can stick a fee on it. $7, $27, whatever you want, and sell it. There's some passive income for you. You can also use your blog to pitch your expertise for a podcast. Just send them the blog to say, hey, I'm happy to talk about this on this topic. Or you can send it to your local newspaper or magazine as a guest blog as a way to build your exposure and get a backlink. Just on that note, make sure you don't publish it on your site before it's published there. Then you can publish it later. I just mentioned originally seen on this awesome site. So there are my 5 tips for creating an engaging and effective website. I could go on, but I thought I would keep this episode fairly succinct for you. But to recap, 1, ensure your message is clear. 2, make it SEO friendly. 3, talk about the humans. 4, have clear call to actions. And 5, include a blog. And if you followed my tips today, you'd be well on your way of having an awesome website that gets results. Ideally, right? That's what we all want. No one wants a website that does nothing for them. If you do have any more questions about this area, feel free to reach out to me. Book in that free discovery call. I also do one-on-one strategy. And into the new year, I'll be doing programs and more one-on-one coaching and things like that as well. So watch this space. But in the meantime, thank you very much for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn to search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you listen to the podcast. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.